Good evening. In the news tonight, the NYPD continues to surveil peaceful protesters in violation of the First Amendment. And Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders tells the people of Puerto Rico how he would get the island out of debt. With these and other stories in New York, I'm Linda Perry, and this is some of the news for Tuesday, May 17, 2016. At a peaceful animal rights demonstration at the Brooklyn Navy Yard, a police car pulls up. An officer from the NYPD and his partner get out of the car, and one of the cops begins to take video of the protesters. WBAI's Mitchell Cohen was there.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi. I'm from WBAI News. I saw that you were filming some of the protesters.
Uh-huh.
How come?
Oh, for my own information.
But you're a police officer.
Yes. He wasn't filming. It's a video call.
Videoing some of the protesters. So,
First Amendment rights? Anyone could videotape once it's a public event, right?
No, wrong. Cohen took the tape to civil rights attorney Norman Siegel. He says the interaction demonstrates a lack of knowledge and understanding of the First Amendment and the Hanshu Agreement.
Under Hanshu, which was a lawsuit that alleged that peaceful protesters' First Amendment rights to protest was violated because it chills people if the police are taking video and put it in a database. There are exceptions to the fact that the police cannot, under Hanshu, video peaceful protesters. And the exceptions are, one, if the protesters are engaged in illegal or terrorist activity, or they're about to engage in that activity or threatening to engage in that activity, they can turn on the video camera. Or second, they can turn on the video camera if they'll block the faces out of the peaceful demonstrators and allege that they're using it for practice for tactics in the future at the academy. But in the absence of that, they can't turn on the video, and this officer was not alleging either one of those exceptions to the Hanshu Agreement.
But the cop kept insisting that he has a First Amendment right to film demonstrators while on duty.
So you're trying to say I don't have a First Amendment right even when I'm on duty?
I'm asking.
That's what I'm asking. That's all I'm asking.
I'm saying it's dubious because filming protesters.
All I'm asking is, okay, do I have a First Amendment right when I'm on duty?
To film protestors?
Do I have a First Amendment right?
No, you don't.
I don't have a First Amendment right.
No, you don't. No.
I do not have a First Amendment right.
Not as a police officer on duty.
I do not have a...
To film protesters.
I do not have a First Amendment right. That's what you're telling me right now.
Yes.
Okay.
All
right. Then bring that to the judge and bring it to the Constitution saying that I do not have a First Amendment right at all.
Norman Siegel.
There's a huge difference between a video camera that is owned and operated by a private citizen or a private corporation, as opposed to the government having that information. We know from ClientelPro, we know from lots of experiences that when the government has that kind of data, they can create all kinds of systems which, when there's problems, they'll immediately go look for the activists, the social justice activists. And second, there are a lot of people, college students, law students, medical students, people who eventually are going to have to get a license. And if, in fact, they're involved in peaceful protest and their pictures are recorded and they're in the possession of the government in a database, that will chill them, hesitate them from participating in the demonstrations. I always remember when I started law school in 1965 and we went around asking people to sign petitions against the war in Vietnam in 65 as opposed to 68. Things had changed. And most of my classmates at law school were afraid to put their name on a petition because of the McCarthy period. And you don't want to chill people and have them be not willing to express their opinions about issues, especially controversial issues. And if the government has your face, has your information, your image, there will be people who won't go out on the streets and won't demonstrate. And we need more people, in my opinion, peacefully, I emphasize peacefully protesting and exercising their First Amendment right to protest and to call for redress of grievances. And if the government is videoing you, a lot of people won't go out on the streets. And in my opinion, as we get close to the summer of 2016, we need more people peacefully protesting rather than less.
So if you want a freedom of press, you can request this phone and have it. That's it. So anything that's filmed on here is recorded by the department.
Okay, so you're doing this on behalf of the department.
Anything is on here is recorded to the department. So if you want it, you can request it from the department.
Okay. If I, maybe I will.
That's no problem.
Okay, can I get your name, sir?
Right here.
This police officer at the Brooklyn protest, who believes he is correct in filming peaceful demonstrators, raises the serious question of what kind of training the police department is giving officers, according to Siegel.
And the officer saying you can always foil this information. You're not allowed to have it to begin with. But even more troubling with that one particular officer in the interaction with the commendable BAI reporter, who stood his ground appropriately, is the fact that it raises the serious question of what kind of training is the police department giving to officers? Because if this officer was the only officer who didn't understand the handshoe agreement and the importance of First Amendment peaceful protest, how many other officers similarly don't understand what handshoe is about and what the First Amendment is about? And therefore, I think it's appropriate for the police commissioner and the leadership of the New York Police Department and the mayor to look into what training is being given to officers, new as well as veteran officers, with regard to the enforcement of the handshoe agreement, and in generally to make sure that people understand in the police department that people have a First Amendment right to peaceful protest without being videoed.
Civil rights attorney Norman Siegel will be filing a complaint on behalf of Mitchell Cohen and WBAI Radio with the NYPD and the mayor's office. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. A month-long series of raids to deport hundreds of Central American refugees is underway, Andrea Sears reports.
Immigration and Customs Enforcement has ordered field offices to launch a month-long surge of raids targeting mothers with children who have been ordered to leave the country. Carlene Pinto with the New York Immigration Coalition calls the plan disgraceful.
It is counterproductive and hypocritical that right now we have an executive action that is being decided by the Supreme Court that would essentially grant deferred action programs to the same community of people that are now being targeted.
In March, Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson told a Senate committee that a similar series of raids in January had helped slow an increase in undocumented immigrants from Central America entering the country. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
In other news today, the head of the Democratic Party, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, denounced the violence and incivility that marred the primary in Nevada over the weekend. She says if there are legitimate concerns, they must be addressed in an orderly, civil, and peaceful manner. At the convention, California Senator Barbara Boxer egged on Sanders supporters.
You know something? I grew up. Keep on booing and boo yourselves out of this election. Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah.
Sanders supporters contended that the party leadership rigged the results of the convention, which locked in seven more delegates who pledged to support Hillary Clinton compared with the five Sanders gained. The convention ended Saturday night when security at the Paris Las Vegas casino said they could no longer ensure an orderly event. Sanders supporters got 15 delegates, Clinton 20. Today, Democrats headed to the polls in Kentucky and Oregon. Meanwhile, Donald Trump is zoning in on disgruntled Sanders supporters. He is installing operatives in several states that traditionally favor Democrats, including Maine and Minnesota. Trump is still about 100 delegates shy of the number needed to clinch the nomination. Oregon Republicans are casting ballots in today's primary. Puerto Rico's debt crisis and the suffering of the people on the island, as well as the plight of one of their national heroes, came into focus on Monday.
I say to President Obama, let him out.
Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders campaigning in Puerto Rico on Monday says it's time to release Oscar Lopez from prison. The Puerto Rico national has been in prison for more than 34 years.
Longer than Nelson Mandela was in prison in South Africa. He is currently incarcerated at the Federal Correctional Institution in Terre Haute, Indiana, in solitary confinement. This man is 73 years old, and his health, as I understand it, is deteriorating rapidly. We are talking here about a Vietnam War veteran who was awarded a Bronze Star and a respected community activist. A petition asking President Obama to immediately release Oscar Rivera Lopez from prison is, as I understand it, widely supported in Puerto Rico.
Sanders says if he's elected president, he would release Oscar Lopez. And Sanders, speaking at a town hall in San Juan, says it's time for the U.S. to rethink its relationship with Puerto Rico. He offers what he says should be done regarding the status of the island.
During my first year in office, I will do everything I can to give the people of Puerto Rico the opportunity to vote on a binding referendum that would allow them to choose from three clearly defined options on whether or not to become our 51st state, whether or not to become an independent nation, or whether or not to reform the existing Commonwealth relationship. That is a decision that must be made by the people of Puerto Rico.
Sanders says he's more than aware of the humanitarian crisis in Puerto Rico, that the U.S. administration and Congress needs to address the crisis, but that Republicans are blocking the way forward.
The Republican plan in Congress to establish an unelected oversight board that would be given the power to slash pensions, cut education and health care, and increase taxes on working families is not the answer.
The way forward, according to Sanders, is for the Federal Reserve to use its emergency authority to restructure Puerto Rico's $70 billion debt.
If the Federal Reserve could bail out Wall Street, it can help the 3.5 million American citizens of Puerto Rico. Today, I am calling on the Fed to use its emergency authority under Section 13.3 of the Federal Reserve Act to pave the way for an orderly restructuring of Puerto Rico's public debt.
Since 2006, Puerto Rico has lost 20% of its jobs. 60% of its adult population is unemployed or gave up looking for work. More than 150 public schools have been shut down, and the poverty rate for children has gone up to 57%. According to Sanders, austerity is the wrong road.
Austerity will cause more suffering for working people and make the rich richer. We must vigorously oppose all efforts at austerity. It is unacceptable to me that vulture funds on Wall Street are demanding that Puerto Rico fire teachers, close schools, cut pensions, and abolish the minimum wage so that they can reap huge profits off the suffering and the misery of the children and the people of Puerto Rico. We cannot allow that to happen. We will not allow that to happen.
Meanwhile, Goldman Sachs, Citigroup, UBS, and other financial firms have received hundreds of millions of dollars in fees to manage Puerto Rico's bond sales. The Democratic presidential hopeful says the way forward for Puerto Rico and for states throughout the U.S. is to create good-paying jobs by repairing infrastructure which is crumbling and by moving to a clean energy economy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the WBAI Evening News for Tuesday, May 17th, 2016. The news was produced with Dee Shore, Mitchell Cohen, Andrea Sears, and Reggie Johnson. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.